Good afternoon. I like that. That's good. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here this afternoon and present a lesson to you from God's Word. I've been really looking forward to this. This is my first time in Kokomo. So it was kind of fun driving up from County Line Road down to Greenwood area is where we live. But it was fun coming up here and seeing what the area looks like a little bit. I first met Joshua, I guess it was last year down in Shelbyville when he was preaching there, and he did an excellent job, but you know that, don't you? He did a really good job. And in fact, he's going to be speaking for us. Hope you have this on your calendar, May 15th. He's going to be speaking for us there in Franklin. And the theme that we have this year is Rooted and Grounded in Love. So we would encourage you. It didn't take too long to get here, so you could drive down that way and come and hear him when he comes down and speaks for us. What we've been doing for the last about a year and a half, we call it a year-long gospel meeting. And we have a different speaker every month. We start in March, and we have a different speaker every month. We have singing for 45 minutes. And then a different speaker, and that's worked real well for us in being able to reach out in the community and reach other congregations so that that they know that we're there. I wanted to share with you a couple of things about Creekside and about me and about another project that I'm working on, but just so that you know me a little better. But we were asked to come and help and to work with the congregation there. I guess it's close to 2 years ago now, and my wife and I, we went down, and she's not here today. She wanted to be. Our son's having surgery in the morning in Lexington, Kentucky at 5:30, so she went on down to be there, and I'm going to drive down there when we finish up here this afternoon, but maybe there'll be another time for you to meet her. They asked us to come. They had three families at the time, and there was 13 people. That's like I say, a little over a year and a half ago. In February, we averaged 54. So we're so thankful for what's going on. We now have three shepherds. We have three deacons. We had three baptisms 2 months ago, two restored. So we give God all the credit for what's taking place. And I've already got one name and address. If you know of anybody in that Johnson County area, if you would give their name and phone number to me, I will follow up with them. And I would love to have the chance to meet family and friends that you might know that are there in that area. Be thinking about that if you would. I told Joshua I was going to do just a quick little bio, I'm calling it, but so you know me a little better. That's how we really build a relationship, isn't it? I mean, we have to get to know each other. So this is just a little quick thing for me, and I wish I had time to sit down, and I call it my story. And we all have a story. And one of the first things I would ask you, if we sit down and talked, I would ask you, well, where did you grow up? Where are you from originally? And it's interesting. I've been doing that for a long, long time, and it's interesting the conversations that come from that. But I just wanted to share this real quick. I grew up in Owensboro, Kentucky. Anybody know where that is?
Yep.
Oh, really? I feel more comfortable already, Joshua. Okay. All right. Yeah, I grew up, went all the way through school there, went to college there. And I'm the oldest of eight children. I grew up, you might find this interesting, I grew up in the Baptist church. The first time I was ever in, if you'll allow me to say it this way, a Church of Christ building was when I was 17 years old. And I had asked my wife to be, I guess it's still, you can get, it's legal in Kentucky, I think, to get married when you're 15. No, I'm kidding. But I had asked her to go to the Davis County Fair. It was in the summer. And she said she wanted to. She was 15. I was 17. And she talked to her mother and dad, and they said, well, it's Wednesday night, so you go to Bible study, then you can go. and her name is Gaynell, call her Gay for short. And she said, I want to go. Would you come to Bible study with me? And I said, yes. Okay, so that was the first time that I was ever at a service of the Lord's church. And it was interesting what happened over the years, but some 4 years later, through a lot of reading and a lot of studies, at the age of 21, I obeyed the gospel. And we don't have time to do this because this is not about me this afternoon, but there was, it's interesting, I look back over the years and there were so many people that were involved in my life that were Christians, and at the time, I don't know how the providence of God works, but it ended up after the fact, there were just so many people that were Christians that were in my life that touched me one way or another. For example, a basketball coach, a close friend of his, a fellow that was in the insurance business, another fellow in the insurance business was an adjuster, an elementary school teacher, a couple of classmates that I went to school with in high school. I come to find out later that they were Christians. And so we're going to talk about examples this afternoon. So some of those examples really did lead me to be open-minded and take a look at what this was all about. And I had written down here, they were patient with me, they were loving, they were forgiving. I thought, you know, when I was 17, I thought I knew everything. By the time of 21, I'd already preached two or three times in the Baptist church, and I was kind of on that path a little bit. And so it was quite an adjustment and a lot of changes that I had to make. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to do that. I played high school ball, basketball, football, played college basketball. Any basketball fans in here? I played on two national championship teams when I was in college. And so I ended up having a chance to meet a lot of people. I coached basketball for 12 years. The first job I had was at Florida College, and I was there 69 through 74. Anybody go to Florida College? One? Okay, good. All right. So that was a long time ago, but met a lot of people and have done a lot of things after coaching in the business world, consulting. I've been preaching since 1969, started in a little place in Florida called Frostproof Florida. But one of the things that I like to say to people when I meet them is I'm passionate about evangelism. When I saw the truth, when I finally came to grips with it and obeyed it, I wanted to share it with everybody that would listen, and I haven't changed. I continue to do that, and do evangelism workshops. We've helped start three congregations. And none of them were from a division or fight or fussing. And isn't it awful that so much of that goes on amongst us? It was in areas that were needed. There were two in Florida, one in Florida, two in Kentucky. And anyway, I just thought I'd share that with you. There's more to the story, but some of you look bored already, so we'll stop with that. I did want to mention one thing to you, and Joshua said it, I think it's on the board back there, but have you seen the flyer on leaving the pit? If you haven't seen that, I would encourage you to take a look at it. I brought five or six that I could leave. Let me just read this to you real quick. We are members of the Church of Christ, equipping members of the Church of Christ in dealing with mental health, addiction, and family issues. And we've got one time a month, we have there on County Line Road, we call it an event, and we're having different speakers that come in, but it's mainly to educate members of the church about these issues that we've got going on. And, you know, a lot of times out here in trying to teach somebody, you're studying with them, and during the course of that study, something is revealed about their life. Something that they're in, something, you know, and you see that they're they're understanding the scriptures that we're looking at, and you can almost tell that they're going to obey the gospel when we get to the end of this. So we can show them and teach them what they need to do to have their sins washed away. But now what? Now what are we going to do with an addiction that they have? What are we going to do with family problems that they might have? What do we do with anxiety? And for years, there's just some things that I've been serving as a shepherd for a long time, and you run up against some situations where you just, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. And so that's what we're trying to do, is to create some brothers and sisters around the country that are willing to help, educate all of us, and then also to know where help is available. So if you want to ask me about that, I would love to share that with you afterwards. I want to read a silly little story to you that you may have heard before. This is an old one, but it has to do with attitude, and this leads into our study about Jesus this afternoon and his example. And if you've heard this, just humor me if you would. A man received a parrot as a gift. This is not a true story. The parrot was fully grown with a very bad attitude and a worse vocabulary. Every other word was profanity. Those that weren't profanity were, to say the least, rude. The man tried to change the bird's attitude by constantly saying polite words and playing soft music. Anything that he could think of, nothing worked. He yelled at the bird, and the bird got worse. He shook the bird, and the bird became even madder and ruder. Finally, in a moment of desperation, the man put the parrot in the freezer to get a minute of peace. In a few minutes, he heard the bird swearing, squawking, kicking, and screaming. Then suddenly, there was absolute quiet. The man was frightened that he might have actually hurt the bird and quickly opened the freezer door. The parrot calmly stepped out onto the man's extended arm. Perfectly calm, the parrot said, "I am very sorry that I have offended you with my language and my actions, and I ask your forgiveness. I will endeavor to correct my behavior. I am sure it will never happen again." The man was astounded at the change in the bird's attitude and was about to ask what had changed him when the parrot continued, "May I ask what the turkey did?" I'm sorry. No. I have, over the years, I'm 69. I'll be 70 on April 30th. But, you know, those of you that have lived very long, you've seen and witnessed what a key part our attitude plays in everything that we do. And some of us, if we'll be honest, we need to rethink our attitude. We need to think our approach. We need to think about our relationships with each other. Certainly, we need to rethink about our relationship with God and Christ. So that's part of what we're going to talk about here, is changing our attitude. And what I've seen, and I wish I'd been able to come down here the other lessons, but what I saw on the flyer was, so far you've heard lessons this week titled Jesus Our Judge, and Jesus Our Savior, Jesus Our High Priest, Jesus Our Lord, and this afternoon we're going to talk about Jesus Our Example. The power of example is huge. But especially the power of the example of Jesus. To understand what's expected of us, if we can understand, how about I'll use the story idea again. The more we learn about the story of Jesus, the more we understand what that was all about, what God was doing, His mercy, His grace, His love, and Jesus willing to come and die that terrible death. And we, the things that have been revealed to us, as we study that and try to wrap our minds around it, and then try to, we say we're Christians. Definition of Christian is somebody following Christ. And if we're honest again about being, we're going to try to be honest this afternoon, is that our attitude may not be very good, and we may not be following him very well either. You know, we're really good. Have you noticed this? We're really good at getting cleaned up. Some of you take a shower or a bath, whether you need it or not, every Sunday, and you come, get cleaned up and come, and we put on our church face, if you will. You know what I'm talking about? And somebody says to you, how are you doing? You say, fine, when in fact you're dying. You're hurting. And you don't know what to say. You don't know what to do. You don't know who to talk to. And so we need to learn how to help each other more. But as you look at the example of Jesus and see how he interacted with people, then we can learn by following his example, then that can help us be stronger as a local congregation. Give us the tools that we need to teach others, and so that you and I, we can continue to grow here by following his example. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say? All right. Now, just real quickly, and this was a good exercise for me to go through this, as always is when you put a lesson together, I found. There's several Greek New Testament words that are used in the English language to render the word example. And I just want to mention some examples of this. There's five of them. And those of you taking notes, that's good. But the first one that I want to mention is a word that's used that's shown as a specimen. And in Jude 7, it's used there talking about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And if you read that, it says the story of Sodom and Gomorrah serves as an example of the eternal punishment of hell. So you read that and you see the word example. So I went and did a little search on the word example where it occurs. Another one is in Hebrews 4:11, where there we're told that we are to look and study about the story of Israel and to not follow their example of apostasy in the wilderness. And we know that story, Hebrews 4:11. So we look and say, well, all right, God's telling us, look at this. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Israel. Look at the good things they did, but do not follow the bad things that they did. Don't follow that bad example. Another word that's used is actually when Thomas, you remember the first time after the resurrection of Christ, they had a meeting that Sunday evening, and Thomas wasn't there. You remember what he said? He wasn't going to believe in the resurrection until he actually saw the nail prints in his hand and the sword in the place of the spear in his side. The word that's used there for prince is actually a word that's used for example. And I found that quite interesting. So the what you can learn from that is the pattern, or if you will. And the same word is used in 1 Peter 5:3, talking to the elders to be examples to the flock of God. So those of us that serve as shepherds, we have a responsibility to be equipped so that we can help whatever, if we were talking about that, be a good classroom discussion is what does that look like and what are the elders supposed to be doing? And what is our relationship with the elders? Another one that's used, and I do want you to turn, open your Bible to 1 Timothy 1, verse 15 and 16. The word that's used for example here is like, if you look at the definition of it, is behavioral example or a pattern of doctrine or teaching. But Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, 15 and 16, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for eternal life. The word pattern there is another word that's used for example. So again, we look at the life of Christ. We study the life of Christ. We study Paul's life. Look how much we know about Paul's story. His background, his school, the things that he was caught up in, the sins, and how he looked at himself and how enthusiastic he was in the work that he was involved in once he came to know the truth. 2 Timothy 1, while we're here, look at 2 Timothy 1 verse 13. He says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." And the word pattern there is another example of, in some of your translations might even say, example. And then one other one on this is another word that's actually used to, it was used in a child's writing exercise to copy the alphabet. You know, think back about when we learned the alphabet or ABCs and the pattern and how we learned to trace and follow that example of what that's supposed to look like. And there's a passage in 1 Peter 2 that I want to look at that a little later in the lesson. So there's some facts about example. There's so many. God is our example. In Leviticus 19:2, God commanded those people back then, "You shall be holy, for I, Jehovah, your God, am holy." So what he was saying to them, he wanted them to follow Jehovah God's example. And then Christ in Matthew 5:48, a similar admonition there, he said, "You therefore shall be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matthew 5:48. So if you start looking at all these, I think it's quite fascinating. You look at the life of David. We all know David was a man after God's heart, but we know David's story too, don't we? David messed up a lot. Amen. All right? But when in Psalms 26:3, the statement is made there by David. He says to God, "For your loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth." David was impressed by the example of God our Father, of how he demonstrated his love for mankind and especially for David in his life. Turn to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I want to look at a statement that Paul makes here. Verse 32. We think about forgiveness and extending forgiveness and loving kindness. You know, I haven't said a word to you that you don't know, but you know what thing I find fascinating is to actually say what does that kind of play dumb or like in a teaching situation say, "Well, I'm not sure if I understand what that means. What does that mean? What does that mean?" And then can you give me an example of what that looks like if somebody actually did it? Look what Paul says here in Ephesians 4:23. "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." You see that example that he's referring to? Well, what's that look like? What does it look like? Are we kind to one another? Are we tender-hearted? Have we really forgiven one another? Isn't it awful in some congregations, and I know, see, I don't know you, so I don't think I can get in trouble. But if I do, I'm gone in just a little while. No. Have you ever seen this happen? And hopefully it's not here. We're two sisters or two brothers. They're still worshiping here. They're still worshiping in the same place. But they had some falling out years ago. And one of them sits over here, and the other one sits over there. And they do everything they can to avoid each other coming in or leaving the building. You ever seen that happen? I hope not. Unfortunately, I have. And you have to think, were you not there when we had the class on Ephesians 4:32, to be kind to one another, to love one another, to look at the example of our Father, of how He demonstrates and continues to demonstrate His love, how Jesus, His outpouring of love toward us. And so we're trying to motivate us this afternoon to examine ourselves again. But he says there in the New King James, he says to forgive one another even as God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Good sermon title, even as. Even as. So what does that look like? How much, what does it really mean that I have to forgive you? And have we really done that? You know, we're all expecting, you had the lesson first of the week on Jesus as a judge, and we're all expecting grace and mercy on that day, aren't we? Amen. We're expecting forgiveness, but we're also told in another place we're going to be forgiven based on how we have forgiven each other. Mm-hmm. So if there's anything that you have against somebody else, I want to encourage you, beg you to get that resolved. Go to them and say whatever has to be said to resolve that issue. And or if not, we could be very disappointed on that judgment day. Christ is our example. Just incredible when you look at all the things that He did. He, His example of righteous living, He never yielded to sin. You've heard that, right? Amen. What does that look like? What kind of a person was He? What kind of a man was Jesus to be able to do that? And we're to follow that example. Look at Hebrews 4. Let's read a couple of verses here. Let's read 14 through 16. Some powerful words here. Look what he says. Look what the writer says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. If you're a Christian, you know, we have a great high priest at this very moment. Uh-huh. It's sitting at the right hand of God that's working on our behalf. And the writer says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, you've read that before, but if you slow it down and just think about that, what, you know, we don't have a lot revealed to us, you know, in his youth. Most of what we have is probably, you know, when he was 30 to 33, based on what numerical thing you use there on his age. But can you imagine what that was like in his life to live that way? And for the people that were around him, that saw him talk the way that he did, interact with others the way that he did. So we're being told here that, and this is an incredible blessing for us, this great high priest has been there and seen what we are tempted with, because he was tempted in all points. Then he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Our mediator is there to help us. Not only did he set an example while he was here, he continues to work for it. How long, how often do we think about that? Of what's going on behind the scenes, if you will, in heaven for us. What the Father's doing, what Jesus is doing, what the Holy Spirit is doing. They've got our vested interest at heart. And sometimes we don't even say thanks. And sometimes we forget just who our Father is. And we forget that this our life will one day end, or this world is going to end. Have you ever wondered how much patience God has when you look at all the nonsense going on in the world? Have you ever thought, boy, if I was in charge, I would stop this thing now? But it's wonderful that God is as loving and patient as He is. But isn't that something? He never yielded to sin. He delighted in doing his Father's will. You read and see his example. That's what he was all about. Look at John, the 8th chapter. And let's read, start with verse 23. Again, some fascinating things being said here. John 8, verse 23. And he said to them, "You are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." And some of the people that were there, you see what they say? Look how they responded. "Who are you? Who are you?" You know, that's what you've been looking at this week and looking at to learn more about Jesus, to answer, be able to answer the question, who is he? And who is he to you personally? And how would you explain that to somebody you work with or a neighbor or somebody you make a relationship with? So they say, "Who are you?" And look what he says. "Just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. I speak to the world these things which I have heard from him." They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." As he spoke those words, many believed in him. Ask yourself a question. You're a Christian, right? You're claiming to be following Jesus. Can you say what Jesus did there about his relationship to the Father? "I always do those things that please him"? Some of us need to change. And that the word change comes from the word repent. I have a little book at home that's titled, "Change is Good, You Go First." We like to talk about change. We like to talk about repentance. But how are we doing with that one? Change, you know, repentance is not something. You remember some of the sermons, and I've preached them, and I don't know if Joshua has. You might have that, like stair steps, what one has to do to become a Christian. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And we have repentance on there. I'm afraid some of us have come away from that thinking that was a one-time thing, that we only had to repent that one time in order to have our sins forgiven. Yeah, we had to do that, but repentance is an ongoing process. Because if we're honest, we know we make mistakes and we often come short. But look at the example of Jesus. He had a passion, he had a desire, and he said, "I always do those things that please him." Wow. The Lord was a fitting example in serving. Look at John 13, please. Probably would expect me to go to this one, and I'm going to. Let's start with verse 2. This is a little bit of a lengthy reading, but that's okay because there's so much here. Where this is taking place, the Lord had just instituted the Lord's Supper. And we don't have time, but if you look at some of the other references on this, we can also see that the disciples, as soon as during the process of the Lord's Supper, the 12 of them start arguing amongst each other who was going to be the greatest among them. You know, and when you're this far, this side of it, you look at that, you go, how disappointing that must have been for Jesus. But then he goes on and he teaches. So look at this real quick. And after supper being ended, the devil, having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter. Remember this? And Peter said to him, "You're not going to wash my feet. Are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus then said to him, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You're never going to wash my feet." Sometimes we just don't understand what's going on. Have you ever been there? Amen. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you will have no part with me." Uh-oh. Peter did it again. Simon said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, 'You are not all clean.'" But watch what happens here. "So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" We've been learning about Jesus this week, right? What do you know about Jesus? He says, "Do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." You see the word? "I have given you an example." One of so many that are in this book. "Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Powerful statement here now. Look at verse 17. "If you know these things, blessed are you if you know them." Is that what it says? Is that what it says? We all know a bunch of stuff. We all know so much about Scripture. We've been, how many classes have you been in? Some of you, how many sermons have you heard? How many Bible study classes have you been in your life? We know a lot of things. Have you ever heard this? This is an old one. Everybody look at me a second. Knowledge is power, right? Yeah. Let me look. Knowledge is power. Let me see if I can look around. Knowledge is power. Most of you shaking your head yes. No. Got you. Applied knowledge is power. You see it? We know a lot of things. Jesus said here, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." We have to make application. What good is it to have all these great examples if we won't? We say, "Yeah, I know about that. I know that story. Yeah, I remember that account." Well, are you doing that? Oh, well, no. But I intend to. I'm going to. So many things we could say. So he was a fitting example in serving and in suffering. Look at 1 Peter 2, please. 1 Peter 2:21. In fact, let's start with verse 18. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. "Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh." Yours might say even to the unreasonable. "For this is commendable if, because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully." Boy, that's easy words to read. A whole lot harder to go through something like that. Then he says, "For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this," look now, "for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. You want to know Jesus? You want to know more about Jesus? You want your faith to go strong, to grow stronger in Jesus? We're going to have to go back to some of the basics and start following the examples. And to see, maybe we've missed some things. And to encourage each other to start practicing these fundamental things that God intends us to do. Isn't that interesting? Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Another one real quick in Luke 19:10. And I just want, I mentioned a few minutes ago that there's a passion that I have. That if we were in class, I'd say, anybody remember what I said? Luke 19:10. Talk about an example. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? He goes to the wee little man, went to his house. And verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That was the purpose of Jesus when he came, to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm so thankful in my life that I had people that cared enough about Dan Barker to even bring up the Lord. I thought I knew. I thought what I was being taught. You talk about a heartbreaking thing. To find out what you've been taught for your whole life is not true. Part of it was true, but the application of so much of it was wrong. Mm-hmm. When I obeyed the gospel, I'll share this. I didn't have this in my notes. When I obeyed the gospel, my family wasn't happy at all. Remember I said I'm the oldest of eight? I have six sisters and a brother. And mom and dad thought the church was a cult. And I didn't obey the gospel. You might find this interesting too, until after we were married. People didn't give up on me. But whenever I obeyed the gospel, and I remember that day I went home and told mom and dad, mom told me not to bring my wife to the house anymore. I'm the not straight A student, but I had good grades. I was a successful athlete. I was playing college ball. Everybody knew, I don't want this to sound right, everybody knew me because I was, it's like teams today, the people in the community know who the players are. And my own mom and dad, who I was always on this pedestal till that happened, said, we don't want you around anymore. Think that hurt? Do I follow the example of Jesus, or do I backtrack and say, I love my mom and dad and I don't want to lose this relationship? Who do I love more, mom and dad or the Lord? I had a decision I had to make. And maybe some of you, if we could hear your story, you went through similar things. But we have to make a choice. We have to consider the cost. We know how Jesus taught about the narrow path and the wide path. And once we learn this, and once we start making application, real life situations are going to occur. And you're going to have to step up. Or you step back. The Hebrew writer said, we're not like those of Israel that went back, that said they were going to obey God but didn't. We are to be people that have confidence that we're going to continue pressing toward the prize. Isn't that what you've said? Don't you sing songs like that? Do you mean those songs when you sing them? The Lord was a fitting example in service and in suffering and all the things that he did to reach the lost. We could talk a long time on this. How are we doing here? I don't know, Joshua. Y'all don't know. I mean, how are we doing here in the community of reaching the lost? I had this said to me twice when we first moved up here, and I never had anybody say this to two sisters, two different occasions. And we were talking about evangelism and trying to reach people, and I had two different ones said to me, "Dan, I don't know anybody outside the church." Have you ever thought that yourself? Or have you ever heard somebody say that? Quite frankly, that shocked me. And because I guess I've worked so much on this of trying to get to know people. But I went, I took the one sister and I said, I've never heard anybody of a Christian say that. And I went, well, let's try something for a minute. Let's think about that. I mean, your hair always looks so nice. Okay? My wife was there. She was listening. Okay? I said, get in trouble. Your hair always looks so nice. Do you do that yourself? And she went, no. I said, well, who does that? And she named this beauty shop. And I went, well, is there a certain lady there that does that for you? Yeah, Eileen. I went, Eileen. Okay. Is Eileen a member of the church? No. There's one. And I went through like 10. We know people. We have relationships with some people. Maybe it's just small. We need to learn how to develop that. Jesus never met a stranger. Of course, Jesus, being God himself, he knew everybody. He knew what was in their minds and in their hearts. But if we have the passion to follow the example of Jesus, we're supposed to be seeking and saving the lost. Okay? So we need to learn how. If we don't know how, let's learn how to do that. It's a skill set. You have to learn how to introduce yourself. And I know some of us are bashful and some of us are more outgoing than others. That's okay. God knows that. Jesus knows that. But we're to work together. You notice how many times when Jesus sent them out, they went out two by two? So you have to find a buddy to work with and where you can get your confidence from each other. But to follow the example, look what he did. Look what he did so that you could be saved. So you could sit here this afternoon and call yourself a Christian. Look what he did. And we need to learn how to share it with others. I think you look through the study of Acts and all the stories that are there. We're told in Acts 4 and verse 13, the Jewish leaders were looking at Peter and John. And this statement, you'll remember this. So here are these leaders looking at Peter and John, and here's what they said to themselves. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What did those Jewish leaders see? What did they hear Peter and John say? What did they know about them? Isn't that interesting? You talk, what about one writer I found said, and I like this, he said, what a commentary on the Savior. The people noticed that they had been with Jesus. They had been with him and followed his example. Watch this one. Let's make an application. When people observe you, what do they see? Do they say, she is obviously a Christian? She is following Christ. Look at her. Look how she handled that situation. You know people watch you? You know people look, right? More people know more about you than what you realize. Don't be deceived by that. Don't be naive. So if they look at you that way, and we're supposed to be, we're claiming to be a Christian, are we really following Christ? Are we sending a different message? What about the whole congregation? What do the people in the area say about this group that meets here? What do they say? But those leaders took knowledge that they had been with Jesus. So many other things. So many times Paul encouraged the readers of the letters that he wrote to follow examples. And you remember in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be ye imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ." And then Paul, maybe two more verses. 1 Corinthians, let's look at 1 Timothy 4:2. Let's look at verse 12. 1 Timothy 4:12. I'm still not right. I'll get it right here in a minute. There it is. All right. Remember when Paul was talking to Timothy? He was a young man, young minister. 1 Timothy 4:12. He said, "Let no one despise your youth, but be what? To be an example. Be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity." Here's another follow-up to this meeting, is to go back and look at this. And what was Paul saying to Timothy to do? What was he encouraging him to do? So can the young people that are in here, look at this, young folks. Be an example in the words that you use, in your conduct, and your attitude. He says, "Until I come, give attention to reading." You mean we have to read the Bible? I thought Joshua just read. He did all that for you. I'm being silly. Of course we're supposed to read. But how are we doing on that? To exhortation, to doctrine. "Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership." Then he says, "Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them." Twice on Sunday and once on Wednesday night. Is that what he's saying? And how many times have I said, what does that look like? What does entirely look like? If we're going to follow the example, we're going to give ourselves entirely, we've got to learn what this is. And then he says, "That your progress may be evident to all." If we grow, it'll be evident. If we're following Jesus, it will be evident. It will be evident to everyone that's around us. Isn't that something? "Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself," watch it, "and those who hear you." Save ourselves and those that hear us. None of us can argue with a good example. It's simply there. We recognize, if we were in a class and I say, tell me an example of a good example. Tell me a story of a good example. And I think some of you could come up with some individuals. Peter even said in 1 Peter 3:1, that's why Peter tells the Christian woman there who's married to an unbeliever, remember that? That if she cannot teach her spouse with words, with instruction in the Scripture, perhaps without uttering a word, he would be convinced by her manner of life. And you go, wow. I do that a lot for some reason. Oh, wow. So we sang the song a few minutes ago, "Joshua, let us hold to be like thee." I want to encourage you to strive to take the lessons that you've heard in this. Don't stop with it. Let it just be a springboard to future studies about Christ. Let's expand our knowledge of Christ. Perhaps we've put him in a little box and we've minimized just who Christ is. And we need to learn more about him and what he means to us. Let's make a new commitment, not only to know Jesus, but to be like him. I want to thank you so much for letting me come this afternoon. You've been very kind and very patient and listening to the old guy talk. You know, I used to be the youngest one in the room. I don't know what happened. But thank you for allowing me to come. I met a few of you earlier. I look forward to shaking hands with you when you leave. But I just want to encourage you in your work here. My first time to Kokomo, I'd only met Joshua and his family one time. Just I don't really know them, just a brief, but I'm looking forward to getting to know him better. And hope, Lord willing, we'll have a chance to get to know each other as we go down the road. So let's remember that we've made a commitment that we're going to follow Jesus and follow his example. Maybe we need to revisit that. And again, remember I mentioned repentance? God will give us a chance to start over. Maybe somebody even this afternoon with the lessons you've heard this week, maybe somebody needs to start over and say, I haven't been taking this as serious as I should. Maybe I forgot about how serious my example is. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you really want to go?
Amen.
You know? So let's make a commitment to help each other. And by setting a good example, save yourselves and save those that we just read and save those that hear you. If we can help, won't you come while we stand and sing?